out on my government-sponsored run a couple of Sundays ago, I had the sudden urge to hug a tree. Now, you may think that with my eco-church hat on, this is something I go around doing all the time, but actually, this was all new to me and took me a little bit by surprise. Now, obviously, in the current situation, I didn't actually hug a tree. No way of knowing which other hands had touched that tree. And funnily enough, we haven't heard any specific information about how long the virus lasts on bark. Strange things we think about in these very strange times. So what I did instead of hug the tree was lean against it. I leaned back against the thick, gnarled, extraordinary bark of this very tall, majestic tree on the Nower, which is around the corner from where we live. And it's one of three trees that stand in a small clearing and which I've loved and marveled at for years and just enjoyed and absorbed its permanence, its beauty, its solidity, its dependability. The fact that it had stood for probably well over a century, withstanding whatever the seasons of life had thrown at it, and was still standing tall and proud and solid. Something in me at that moment just needed that. And not just to look at it, but to experience it. I somehow felt that being in physical contact with that tree and all it stood for meant I could sort of cling on to a continuity, a before and after. It meant I could believe that there would be some sort of normal life beyond this, that there's something bigger than the virus, bigger than the fear. And it did help. I took several deep breaths and was encouraged and fortified. I wonder whether you feel like you need a bit of that at the moment as well. Though, of course, you might be wanting to say to me, well, of course, there's something bigger. What about the almighty and eternal God that we worship? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the certainty and continuity above and beneath all things, all ages, all generations. There's where you find the solidity and dependability that can absorb and get you through, get us through the ups and downs of this changing world. You might be wondering what kind of faith I have that means I need to hug or lean against a tree. Okay, well, maybe for me it takes a while to join the dots, but maybe I've got a bit in common with Thomas from the passage we just read, Robin just read to us from John's Gospel. I imagine that in the same way that I'm not usually given to hugging trees, Thomas wasn't someone who went around touching people's wounded hands and side. He, like the other disciples, must have been heartbroken and full of fear. His hopes for and excitement about the future dashed by Jesus's death. And he'd missed out on that first appearance of Jesus to his disciples and just wasn't prepared to take their word for it. He needed to see Jesus for himself, to touch him. He needed actual physical proof that what they'd said was true. I do wonder what that week was like between when Jesus first appeared to his disciples, when Thomas wasn't there, and appeared to them again. Were they still on lockdown in the house? I don't know. Did the other disciples keep on at Thomas about, come on, you know, we told you, you don't have to see him to know, we're telling you. Who knows? But when Jesus did come and stand among them again and say, peace be with you, he knew exactly what Thomas needed. He met him at the point of his doubt, spoke directly to him, and helped him to move forward. And what does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. The first public profession of Jesus as both of those things. And by the way, this just dawned on me a couple of days ago when I looked again at the passage and the one at the beginning when Jesus first appeared to his disciples, it dawned on me that on that first occasion, where was Thomas? The disciples were locked in for fear of the Jews, but where was Thomas? Why wasn't he with them? And I just wondered, despite his fear, maybe he was the one out getting supplies for them, bracing himself to do the supermarket shop Does that ring any bells? I don't know about you, but it's one of the bits of this whole thing that I find most stressful. So though he's portrayed rather unfairly, I think, as doubting, maybe no one else was prepared to go out and do the shopping. Perhaps we should call him Brave Thomas instead. Now, I have times of faith and times of doubt, sometimes even in the same day. The proportion of each fluctuates at different points in my life. There have been times when doubt has eaten away at me, and I've been actually quite scared to examine it too closely in case my faith would turn out to be sort of built on sand and just crumble. But as I get older, I'm slowly getting better at not being scared and to use those times of doubt as an opportunity to ask questions, to read something that opens my eyes and my heart, to try and unpack what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it. And yes, even at the moment where I'm unsure whether God is there at all, praying, articulating those feelings of doubt, shouting them with a good deal of frustration and the slight bafflement of the dog in the middle of an empty field, if necessary. And on occasion, that has felt completely necessary, though I'm aware that may be just me. I don't know. But letting God meet me at the point of my doubt and my fear, reminding me of his presence in all sorts of sometimes quite random ways through the Holy Spirit, comforting, healing, and in many cases, God patiently waiting as a loving father for me to find my way home. The way Jesus led Thomas out of doubt meant that he grew into a wonderfully effective ambassador for Christ and a really significant part of the spreading and growth of the Christian church. Church tradition and history tells us that he took the gospel as far as India and there was martyred for his faith. He's considered India's patron saint. And I'd like to think that his very physical experience of the risen Christ sustained him in that ministry and gave him reassurance that Jesus had done what he said he would, proved himself, as he did again and again, and does again and again, to be true, solid, and dependable, and a beacon of hope in what can feel like quite a dark world. Now, 2,000 years on, we can't see and feel the physical form of Jesus the way Thomas did in order to know him as our Lord and our God. But to Thomas and all the disciples then, Christians through the ages, and us now, God gives his Holy Spirit to be a constant presence, to guide us, comfort us, strengthen us, and give us hope. And perhaps even to give some of us, at a moment when we're struggling with sadness, doubt, and fear, and a bit like Thomas, need something physical to cling to. The urge to lean against a tree while out on a run, to feel and be encouraged by the solidity, permanence, and dependability of our living and loving God. Amen.
Amen.